Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Help me out, John. I want you to help me out.
I'm here for you, man. I'm here for you.
So Friday, during Football Friday, the news came out of Los Angeles that the Rams were giving a three-year extension to Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
He got a three-year contract extension worth up to $48 million. Robert Woods got his extension as well, a four-year contract extension worth $65 million.
Right.
So the Rams paid two receivers after they traded Brandon Cooks to the Texans, and they're paying the majority of Cooks' salary.
Correct.
These two, what do I need to make of that, given the fact that the Texans like Cooks a lot, and the Rams not only were willing to give up on him, they're willing to pay money to do so. And it wasn't just about money, because they paid receivers that are older than Brandon Cooks. Help that make sense to me, please.
They paid to get rid of Brandon Cooks. That's what they did. Literally paid to get rid of him, and chose two receivers that are older than him. I mean, what that tells you is they didn't think Brandon Cooks was going to be anything that could help their team. Now, maybe he could help the Texans. I mean, that's happened. You know, let's be fair. A player just doesn't fit in with one team and fits in with another. But the problem with that theory is he fit in with the Rams previously. You know, they've seen him work with their offense and work with their team and be successful. What it really tells you is they think that it's about time for him to move on.
Or it could tell you the Texans just offered them something that they couldn't turn down. A second-round pick for Brandon Cooks.
But they're paying for him to go away.
Here is Deshaun Watson, quarterback of your Houston Texans. Here's Deshaun talking about his new weapons and how he feels about them 2+ weeks into the season.
It's coming on well. You know, we're getting on the same page in live action, doing whatever, you know, I'm asking them to do, whatever the offensive coordinator is asking them to do, playing a lot of different roles and just leading. So, you know, we're continuing to, you know, grow each and every week, and that's all we can do.
I mean, at this point, it really is all you can hope for. This offense, as we've been illustrating and laying out, the receivers are not getting it done. They're not getting open. They're not getting any separation. Tight end, I'm high on Jordan Akins. I think Akins had another nice day. Running back not happening. And you got an injured running back in Duke Johnson. But at this point, all you can do is just like what Bill O'Brien continually says. And I know it gets irritating. You know, people's skin begins to crawl when they hear Bill O'Brien's voice. They've been conditioned so much by, well, we just have to coach better. We just have to fix things. We have to play better. It's irritating to hear.
You're wearing me out, John.
It's irritating to hear. But at this point, if you're going to say, how are the Texans going to get better? That's the only way. And I don't have a lot of confidence in it.
Here's Randall Cobb talking about the offense from Kansas City to what we saw on the field yesterday at NRG.
I feel like we got better.
What?
I think we played better.
What?
As a group offensively. But we still got a long way to go. We still got a lot of work to do. And, you know, it's back to practice on Wednesday, getting the install and getting comfortable with it and doing everything we can to prepare for next week.
He thought they played better. Yeah, he thought yesterday was better than Kansas City. Did I miss something?
No, you didn't. You didn't miss anything.
I mean, do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I mean, how can anybody? And, of course, I always – post-game situations like that, I always give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because they just want to get out of there. They're just trying to say something that is positive and – but it's not close to accurate. I mean, this offense is just not getting it done.
Texans, the only team in the AFC South without a win. Tennessee remains unbeaten with a 33-30 win over Jacksonville. Jonnu Smith, 2 touchdowns, 84 yards receiving for the Tennessee Titans. Third-round pick, a tight end that was a third-round pick, 100th selection overall in 2017. Looking very, very good for the Tennessee Titans. Colts get their first win of the year, 28-11, 101 yards for Jonathan Taylor, the Indianapolis running back.
And get used to it. There were a lot of rave reviews about him during training camp, now he's the only show in town. He's the only game in town, so get used to it. They're going to lean heavily on Jonathan Taylor.
Chiefs top the Chargers 23-20 in overtime. Justin Herbert makes his first career start, 311 yards, touchdown and an interception, but the Chiefs win it on a 58-yard field goal to remain unbeaten. Chiefs have an 11-game win streak, their fourth straight 2-0 start under Andy Reid.
And they barely got that 2-0 start. Herbert did a really good job, 58-yard field goal he took to get it done, but also give Patrick Mahomes credit at the end of regulation getting them in there for the tie.
Buffalo also 2-0. They topped the Miami Dolphins 31-28. Josh Allen, 417 yards passing, 4 touchdowns for the Buffalo Bills.
He's the leading passer in the NFL right now. I've been saying all offseason I think he's going to have a good year. I think he's pretty dang good. He's showing it. He's leading the team 2-0 and the leading passer in the league. What else do you want?
49ers 31, Jets 13. Nick Bosa carted off. His season is over. Jets are just really, really, really bad, and the 49ers are really, really, really banged up, but they are 1-1 for Kyle Shanahan. Rams, surprising 2-0 team, kind of. The Rams, 37-19 in Philadelphia. Jared Goff with 3 touchdown passes, all 3 to Tyler Higbee, 4th-round pick, tight end. This is their third straight 2-0 start for the L.A. Rams.
Cardinals are going to win the division. The Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks are all undefeated. Seahawks looked awesome last night. So I shouldn't say they're going to win the division. Cardinals going to the playoffs. Cardinals are going to the playoffs. I don't think the Rams are going to sustain it, and the 49ers are injured. Defending Super Bowl appearance in the Niners, that's the toughest division in football. I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to survive and get into the playoffs.
You just mentioned the Cardinals, 30-13, Arizona. They promoted Jordan Thomas, the former Texan, to the active roster. DeAndre Hopkins, 68 yards on 8 catches and a touchdown. Here's Nuke Hopkins talking about the 2-0 start in Arizona.
You know, to be 2-0, it feels great. We put in the work and we get the results out. There was never a doubt in our mind that we would start like this. The team and the locker room that we have, a lot of veterans, a lot of good young guys. So to be 2-0, it's what we expected.
He just sounds different, doesn't he? Doesn't he just sound, I don't know, liberated?
You think he sounds like a new man?
I do.
He sounds like Belichick.
He does?
Yeah.
He's in a happy place.
I miss him, man.
22 catches in 2 games.
I miss him.
22 catches.
I really miss him. A lot.
I could see that.
A hell of a lot. I sold him short. I said 20 catches. Sorry, Nuke. You get enough disrespect around here. my apologies. Steelers, next up for the Texans. They are 2-0 as well. They topped the Broncos 26-21. Broncos lose Cortland Sutton for the season. He has a torn ACL. Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians gets the most out of Tom B. 31-17, Tampa Bay over Carolina. Leonard Fournette's 46-yard touchdown.
How about that?
To ice it. I'm telling you this right now, and I want you to mark this. That touchdown by Leonard Fournette, the 46-yard touchdown, that's going to be one of the turning points of his career, because I think that if you watch the way Tom Brady reacted to that, Tom Brady was basically sprinting down the field like Baker Mayfield, so excited for Leonard Fournette. I think for someone who hasn't reached the amount of success that he's wanted, I think for a guy like Leonard Fournette to have Tom Brady that excited to see him get in the end zone, I think it's going to go a long way. I think we're going to see a very good version of Leonard Fournette moving forward.
I could see that. I mean, you're getting that validation from the GOAT, man, from the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. That excited for you. That gives you some confidence, doesn't it?
Cowboys 40, Atlanta 39.
How?
Weird game. Cowboys fumbled four times and lost three in the first quarter. They needed an onside kick to win the game. Atlanta just had to fall on it, but they sat there and watched it instead. Cowboys recover a field goal by Greg Zuerlein, also known as Legatron. The Cowboys pull one out of their butts, 40-39.
The Texans game was starting, so I missed most of it until I saw the highlights. It was mind-blowing, especially how the Falcons just watched an onside kick roll the full 10 yards when they could have fallen on it at any point.
Well, that was a punch to the junk if you talk about losses. Going around the league week two here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Packers 42, Lions 21. Aaron Rodgers is on fire. He don't need no receivers, apparently. Giants lose 13-17 to the Bears. But most importantly, they lose Saquon Barkley, who suffers a torn ACL for the G-men. So all you fantasy owners out there, Saquon Barkley is out for the remainder of the season.
The good news is my survivor pool was the Bears, so they got that out of they eked that one out as well. But Saquon, how many of these leading running backs in fantasy football are out now?
Christian McCaffrey out 4 to 6 weeks per Adam Schefter. He hurt his leg in that loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sunday Night Football, good one last night. I enjoyed the hell out of this football game. New England falls 30-35, but Cam Newton looked pretty good. New England's a feisty team. They appear they appear to be heading in the right direction, and they're going to be better than many anticipated, despite the fact they lost all four starting linebackers. They had more opt-outs than anyone, and they got a new quarterback for the first time in damn near two decades that is completely the opposite of their old quarterback.
Russell Wilson looks like he wants to finally win an MVP. He's deserved votes forever and never gotten any, but he looks like he's going for the MVP. The Seahawks, I said earlier, I misspoke, the Seahawks probably are going to be the class of the conference, I would guess, but I think the Cardinals are going to get there, and look at all the talent they've got right now on offense with Seattle. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, DK Metcalf fell into their lap.
Yeah.
He slid in the draft. Tyler Lockett's still doing what he does. And you can make a case that Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the league right now. No disrespect to Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Unlimited.
In the Loop here on Sports Radio 610, Landry Locker, the OG John Lopez. Listen to the ESPN national media types, Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark, laughing at the Houston Texans. And take into account that this was before yesterday's game.
Mm-hmm.
This was previewing the game. This wasn't even reacting to the game. Who knows what the hell they're going to say when I turn my TV on when I go home. Because this is what they were saying before the Texans and Ravens even took the effing field yesterday.
It's so disheartening. When you look around this league, just take this walk with me right quick, people out there that's watching me and Ailes and my brother RC. Patrick Mahomes, organization, committed to people around him. Lamar Jackson, organization, put him in an offense that he could thrive in and committed to people around him. The Cleveland Browns, committed to people around Baker Mayfield to put him in a great situation, surrounding him with stars. And Bill O'Brien traded Deshaun Watson's away. And we sitting here now with a matchup of two young elite quarterbacks that should be in contention every year because their talent is far and wide. And Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are going to stomp a mud hole in the Houston Texans because Deshaun Watson does not have the people that Lamar Jackson has. Feel like it should be some sad music to this thing that I'm giving right now. And I'm going to let my brother RC take over because I'm going to get worked up.
Lamar is in the anti-Deshaun Watson situation. He doesn't have Bill O'Brien as a GM. He has a GM that actually cares about his well-being, that wants him to thrive on the field.
Man, that's just that, and again, just to reiterate, if you think that's post-Ravens, it's before the game even began. Man.
Reaction Monday continues. Let's hear from the previously mentioned Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien went to the podium and had some familiar things to say. We'll hear from the Texans coach next.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, Texans lose 33-16, 0-2. Pittsburgh next on the schedule. Do the Texans belong in the same class as the Pittsburgh Steelers? We'll get into that. But before we do, let's hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien, meeting with the media types live at NRG following the Texans' 0-2 start.
You touched on this yesterday, and Anthony made a big deal about it last week, about not being able to force turnovers. You guys are tied for next last differential. What can you do that you haven't been done, and how important is it for you to start forcing them?
Yeah, it's important. I mean, we have to we have to continue to work on it in practice. We have to be around the ball more consistently, whether it's tighter coverage when the ball's thrown or get more guys to the ball in the running game. Look, both offenses we played are very good, very unique offenses, but that's no excuse. It just means that, every week's going to be different. And so we have to look at Pittsburgh now, and we've got to figure out how to take the ball away and not miss those opportunities when they happen. And then we also have to, on offense, we have to take care of the ball. We don't take care of the ball on offense yesterday, and that was that led to points for them.
Hey, Bill, considering all the speed you have in this receiving core and also the downfield threat David has been as a running back in his career in the passing game, how do you feel about the rate at which your team has produced explosive plays so far through these first two games?
Now we have to do a better job. We have to do a better job. We, that's something that we have to work on this week. We hit Brandon on the one yesterday that led to a touchdown. We missed David on a play that I think would have been a big play in the game. So we have to keep working at it and just keep trying to improve and do a better job.
Hey, Bill, with pass protection, now that you've reviewed the game, what did you see from some of the things they were doing to get that many quarterback hits? I think that 11 is ties the most that Sean's been hit in his career in a game.
Yeah. I think some of that was when we were, down and we had to throw the ball. I think that we have to work on different techniques up front relative to what the defensive line is doing to us. And overall, we just have to do a better job. I mean, it also involves, it's everybody. It's the running back. It's the just like I always say, it's the quarterback, running back, the wide receivers, tight ends, doing what they're supposed to do too. It's not just the offensive line. So we have to work hard to work really hard to get better quickly here.
Bill, after watching the film, did you see what Ross Blacklock did to get ejected, and have you talked to him about it?
Yeah, I've spoken to him, and I didn't see it on the tape. So, I know that it happened. So yeah, I've spoken to him.
What happened?
I mean, I've spoken to him, Sarah. So, you guys can watch it too, right? You have the TV copy?
Yep. I can see it on the copy.
Yeah. Neither, really, to be honest with you, Sarah, neither did I. I just know what the official told me. So I'm not trying to – I didn't see it either, but the official told me that he threw a punch, which I think you've probably already know that. So, I'm just saying that's what the official told me, and, we have addressed it, and, we'll continue to address it today.
Hey, Bill, what after looking at the tape, what are some things you feel like you need to do a better job against the run?
Mark, we fit the run really well. Sometimes we fit the run really well. Sometimes we get out of our gaps. We don't give the offense credit. They execute better than we do. Is it scheme? Is it players? Look, it's all on me. We've got to stop the run better. We've got to figure it out. Got to get the players to play better. We've got to look at our scheme and look at what we're doing. But, this offense that we're playing this week is completely different than that offense and the offense before that. So, it's going to be a matter of what we think is the best thing to do versus Pittsburgh. We just have to – everybody's got to do a better job.
Coach, you don't need to look at the defensive scheme. It's the players. Give me a break. 14 of the points – 7 came on a defensive touchdown for the Ravens. The other one, you threw the ball into the ground on 4th-and-1 because you went from your own 30 for it. So now stay out of the scheme. Anthony Weaver's coaching his ass off. So it's the players, okay? Stay away from that scheme. You've already screwed up the offensive scheme. Stay away from the defense, as you were.
job. That's what, you know, when you're 0-2, you have to improve in every area.
Can you share with us what's going on with Will Fuller and why he was limited yesterday?
You know, I really don't know. I mean, we look, he was, you know, he was in the passing game. He was involved in the passing game relative to health and all those things. I'll see what happens today when he comes in for treatment and things like that. But, you know, we have to do a better job of getting him the ball. You know, it just didn't happen yesterday.
Hey, so we saw some pretty good things from Brandon Cooks and from Randall Cobb. And you mentioned earlier some of the plays that you guys missed and some of the things that you're working on. Do you guys feel like y'all are creating the mismatches that you want and executing those?
Well, they were, you know, a lot of, you know, when you talk about mismatches, that has a lot to do with man versus zone and things like that. So this team that we played yesterday, they did play some man. We felt like we had guys in the right positions, but they also played a lot of zone. They played a lot of blitz zone. And so each week is different, you know, relative to the matchups. You know, some teams, you know, they pressure you with a lot of blitz zone. This team pressured us with blitz zone, and then they played a lot. They played zero, which we handled well a couple times, but didn't handle well other times. So we just have to do it all better. Everything's got to be better. So everything, starting with coaching, playing, everything.
JJ had another big game for you guys yesterday. What do you think about the level at which he's playing this season?
Yeah, he had a big game. He had two sacks. He just missed another one where the ball just got out right before he got there. You know, disrupted the running game. He's playing at a really, really good level, and you know, he'll continue to play that way as he continues to get into, just like everybody, as they continue to get into better playing shape and things like that, he'll continue to play well.
They told us during the game yesterday that Cullen was being evaluated for a concussion. Do you know if he had one or what's his status?
Yeah, he was evaluated for it. I'll probably know more about that later on today, so I'll be able to tell you the next time we talk.
Bill, after the game, JJ said he was really frustrated in general, and he's tired of losing, especially the big games. He knows at some point that has to obviously change. But you guys have also played the Chiefs and the Ravens, who are two of the NFL's best teams. How do you balance that, trying to keep that in perspective, knowing it's just two games, but also to be the best, you have to at some point beat the best teams?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the question that we have to answer. We've got to realize that it's a long season, but we also have to realize that, you know, we have to play a lot better to be in that category, but we got to take it one day at a time, one week at a time. You know, we've been in this position before. Unfortunately, we've many times we've gotten out of this position, but it's a different year. So you know, we just have to improve in every area, Brian. That's pretty much all I can tell you. Like, everybody's got to do better, but we realize that it's a long season, and so the balance between who we played and where we're at, you know, we got a lot of games left and a lot of work to be done. We're all frustrated. JJ's frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. No one wants to lose. No one goes into the game looking to lose. Everybody goes in there trying to do their best to win the game. And we got a lot of good guys. We got guys playing hard all the way through. But we have to eliminate mistakes, especially early on, and we've got to play more consistent.
Bill, the opening drives for you guys have been a struggle the first couple games of this year, and I know that's been a struggle going back to last season. Is that an issue of preparation, or is it an issue of execution, and how do you go about fixing that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, we see we put a lot of time into the opening drive. We practice it. We go over it, and you know, we do it really Friday and Saturday. And you're right. I mean, last week against, you know, 2 weeks ago against Kansas City, you know, we gain yards and we jump off sides. You know, we get in third and 10, you know, yesterday, get it to fourth and one. We're on our own 34 early in the game. I decided to punt. I mean, you know, look, I just think we got to keep working at it. You know, I just think it's, you know, something that we definitely know that we have to do better. We got to start faster, and we just, I don't really have a great answer for you, Sean, just other than we got to do a better job.
Hi, Bill. Week one, you said that you guys had a lot of mental mistakes. Do you feel like you had a lot of mental mistakes against the Ravens? And if so, how do you fix that before you go to Pittsburgh?
You know, when I watch the tape, I'm not sure that it was as much mental as, you know, turnovers. There were definitely some mental mistakes. We had neutral zone infractions. We had false starts, you know, false start again. So, you know, there were some mental mistakes. But, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, you give the Ravens credit. They did a better job than we did. But there's definitely a lot to clean up, including mental mistakes. But I thought it was more turnovers and, you know, not taking advantage of situations that we had. We played some situations really well, like at the end of the half, but other situations we didn't play well, and we have to just improve in every area.
Bill, on the 4th-and-1 call, was it supposed to be a pass to Fells, or did Deshaun have options on that play?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically a bootleg. And so we just, you know, they, you know, blitzed us full-out blitz, blitz zero, and we just didn't have a lot of options there. So we just have to do it better. We have to come up with a better play. We have to give, we just have to do a better job, John, every year.
Bill, it looked like Lonnie played a fair amount of safety yesterday. I'm wondering, what do you like about his potential at that spot?
I like Lonnie at safety. I think Lonnie has the size and the ability to play safety. He's a good tackler. He's an instinctive player. I think he did some good things at safety, and I think he'll get better and better doing that. He can also obviously still play corner and help us in that area too. He's got versatility. So, but I thought he did some good things at safety.
Bill, how difficult is it, I guess, against any team would be, but to continue to have to play from behind early on against quality teams like you've been, like you playing Pittsburgh, how critical is that to try to avoid that?
Yeah, it's definitely critical. It's, you know, we get down 10-0, we cut it to 10-7, and, you know, you feel like you're back in the game, but then, you know, it gets to 13-7, and then we fumble and they take it in for a touchdown. It's 20-7. Those are hard deficits to come back from. And we've got to, you're exactly right. That's, you know, like I said, we have to improve in every area, and we've got to really, really try hard to get off to a better start and not fall behind like that. No doubt.
Hey, Bill, when you look at Philip Gaines, he played a lot in the second half. How did you think Philip did? He's a guy that's had some injuries in the past, but what did you think of him? And going forward with QT and this fumble, what's kind of the thinking on ball security and just trying to get him to be more consistent? Thank you.
Yeah, no, Philip made some decent plays. You know, Philip's a solid player. You know, he's a smart player. He knows. Knows his job, and he tries to perform it at a good level every week, every day in practice. You know, Kiki, nobody feels worse about the fumble than Kiki. I mean, you know, we've got to, all of us have to take care of the ball better. The ball, that wasn't the only time the ball was out. We just, the other ones we got back. So, you know, Kiki's working hard in practice, and you know, he'll work hard to make sure that doesn't happen again. I'm sure he feels terrible about it.
Texans head coach Bill O'Brien here on Reaction Monday. Let's talk about the offense of Bill O'Brien. Tempo gate continued on Sunday, plus the schedule ahead. We know that the Texans aren't in the same category as the Ravens and Chiefs. What about the Steelers next?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, it's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
I think initially we came out in a big personnel and we were going to run the ball. And then they called a timeout and we came back and ran a boot play. And they, I think they were ready for it. It was kind of similar to the play we ran on third down. I think they might have been ready for that one.
Yeah, they were. Texans lose, turnover on downs. Bill O'Brien talked about the defense and the run defense not being good. And when he talked about the offense, J-Lo, he basically just said, we can't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not why the offense is bad, coach.
Nope.
Like, you're one of the worst offenses in the league statistically. Like, that's where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're near the bottom. You're bottom four in points per game, and you're 23rd in yards per game. Your defense is actually better in those categories than the offense. So that's not the only reason. The offense is just bad, and the tempo. We keep talking about tempo. You were talking about it in the press box yesterday. You were on the scene, and I was watching the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Green was talking about it as well. The tempo is still rough.
Yeah, that actually surprised me a lot because I was in the press box watching, you know, from there, and you can see the all 22, and you can, the moment that got me the most And he was asked about this and talking about it last week after the urgency slash pace of the game. They had a tempo. It was just slow. So here was the situation, and I was watching the sideline specifically with this in mind. You get down 30-13, okay? So you're down 30-13. I'm like, all right, let's see how B.O.B. and Tim Kelly respond here, because that's the Baltimore Ravens on the other sideline. They can put some points on the board, and they can do it in a hurry. You're going to have to pick up the pace. You're going to have to change some of the way, some of the ways you're doing things. Instead, down 30-13, we saw the same little short passes, the little outs, huddle, get to the line of scrimmage, read the defense, set the pass protection, maybe check into another play. I mean, it was just a snail's pace. And so I started counting. I think it was four plays in a row. I made note to look at the play clock when they got the play, seemingly, from Tim Kelly, because he's obviously talking into their ear, but you can see Deshaun turn and go to the huddle like he just got the play. Okay. And they actually snapped the ball. You're down 30-13. There's no urgency on the sideline. They're doing through all those machinations on the field, trying to get a play going. And there's 10 or 12 seconds left on the play clock. Every time, four straight plays that they just let the play go down and there was no urgency. That's a prop. That's a bigger problem with the offense than anything Bill O'Brien talked about right there. Anything.
They're not well coached offensively.
No.
Period. Like they just do not. Are they don't represent. I don't know. They could be. I'll just leave that as like a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They don't function like a team that's well coached offensively. That's you watch the game, you hear people who study offense, like Clint Sterner, like Dan Orlovsky, like Trent Green, you hear them talk about the offense.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about it like it's a well-coached offensive team. They don't produce like a well-coached offensive team needs to produce. This team is just not very good offensively. Mm-hmm. And that's where most of the resources are. And you have an offensive-minded head coach. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And on the defensive side of the rock, I actually think Anthony Weaver's coached his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
You really allowed 19 points yesterday to Baltimore because 14 of the points came when you gave them a short field after the turnover on downs.
Yeah.
And on a defensive touchdown after QT's fumble. The defense has actually played well enough, played well enough yesterday to win the game. The offense just hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. And it comes at the detriment of your quarterback, who is the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, who we feel good about. And a lot of people feel good about. But the longer that this goes on and the longer that Deshaun Watson is coached, I don't want to call it incompetently, but the longer he's coached the way that he's coached.
He's being restrained.
And sometimes at some point, there's no coming back from this. You can ruin somebody, and you can ruin a quarterback to the point where there's really no point of return. Deshaun Watson right now is getting a four-year education in bad offensive football from Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly. And at some point, there's no coming back from
it. We've seen it. We've seen it in this city. We saw David Carr, number one overall draft pick. Had all the skill. I mean, it's easy to forget now because he was a disappointment here. He had all the skill, had a terrific arm, very mobile, a lot of success in college. The consensus number one overall pick for the Houston Texans. He got pummeled. He got underutilized. And the complimentary pieces just weren't there. Does that sound familiar? He got pummeled. He was underutilized. And the complimentary pieces were not there. Yes, that sounds very familiar. And I would say go to sportsradio610.com. I wrote about this in detail, but here's the nuts and bolts of it. Deshaun Watson is not being used to the best of his abilities, just flat out. And worse than that, they're not bringing in the right complimentary pieces. This is Bill O'Brien buying the groceries, and the groceries are like a day away from the expiration date. I mean, it's like...
You get that 50% discount with that. Hey, I'm all about that life.
They're like, the expiration date is like tomorrow on Brandon Cooks, on Randall Cobb, on David Johnson. Maybe the expiration date on him was a week ago. On all these guys that they're bringing in, he's not helping Deshaun Watson with his play calling. He and Tim Kelly, with the complimentary pieces they're putting around him, how they're utilizing him. And I think the worst thing of all, Landry, is they're in his head, man. I mean, if you watch that game, you can just see it. Deshaun Watson doesn't have – he had that kind of glassy-eyed stare, you know, on the bench at the end of the game. During the game, he would get open. He would do Deshaun Watson-like things that just dazzle you and then sort of hesitate because, oh, should I throw? Should I run? What should I do? You know, is there a dump-off? Is there a check I'm missing? You could just see him thinking on the field, just keep it simple, man, and let Deshaun do Deshaun things. He's not Tom Savage. You're trying to make him into Tom Savage.
The other problem with the groceries that you're talking about is, yes, they might be close to the expiration dates,
mm-hmm.
but you ain't shopping at H-E-B.
Yeah.
These are expensive-ass groceries. Like, you're basically Whole Foods. You're still at Whole Foods. Like, this is the second most expensive team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And next year, if you look at the Bill O'Brien process and the King Bill experiments,
mm-hmm.
you don't have a first and second round pick. This is your team. You don't have a lot of cap space. This is your squad.
Yeah,
it's unforgivable
mm-hmm.
for this team to be where they are offensively, and
with what you've spent,
with what they've spent. And when I hear Bill O'Brien go up there and say, you know, talking about the defense, I don't know if it's personnel, I don't know if it's players, we got to look at it. No, on the defensive side, the scheme has actually, I think it has masked what Anthony Weaver has been given to work with. Anthony Weaver is turning chicken-ish into chicken salad with his
mm-hmm.
defense.
Mm-hmm.
They played good enough to win yesterday. The offense is both. That's the problem. Defensively, I think it's just the Joes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the X's and O's. I think it's the Joes, and I think the numbers reflect
the depth
that.
Especially.
Especially the depth, and especially the front seven, specifically the defensive line and Whitney Merciless, who I think played yesterday. I'm not sure. He wasn't in the box score, but I think Whitney Merciless played yesterday. That's the problem there. On offense, I think it might be both the players and the scheme. I know for a fact it's the scheme,
mm-hmm.
but I wonder what a better offensive coach would do with this scheme. But I think it's both of them there. The biggest bright spot that I take from this Texans team moving forward, and what I feel best about heading into the matchup against Pittsburgh, is Anthony Weaver has coached his ass off. Now, do I expect this defense to be one of the best in the league? Hell no.
No, they get run down.
Absolutely.
They get worn down.
They're worn out. But with what he has to work with, I think Anthony Weaver has coached his ass off. I feel good about Anthony Weaver right now. Tim Kelly, that's a wrap. I've seen enough. That's the same offense. This guy followed Bill O'Brien around for 10 years, basically tugging at his coattail from grad assistant all the way to tight ends coach to mm-hmm. quarterback coach to now offensive play caller. That's the same guy. This offense is the exact same. And you can win. Deshaun Watson can pull a rabbit out of the hat and you can win some games, but this offense is not any different with Tim Kelly. And of all the reactions / overreactions on Reaction Monday, I feel very safe and very certain. And again, I felt like this was going to be the case when Tim Kelly was hired, but I feel very safe in saying this offense, this is the same system that we're used to. There ain't nothing new with it.
It definitely, I mean, there's no evidence to the contrary. Yes, they ran two RPOs in the first quarter, and I was like, hey now. One of them was successful, one was not. But then it's still the same stuff, little dump-offs, the same stuff we've seen, same pace as we began this segment with the tempo that they're using. Defensively, they're just thin, man. I mean, you have to grade on a scale. It's sad that you have to grade on a scale because there is this aspect, Landry. As much as I agree with you, he's done a good job and they wear out. And they gave up 230 yards rushing yesterday, which is second worst in the entire NFL. But there's a reason for it. They haven't committed the resources to the depth there. And even the frontline talent there, Eric Murray was bad again. Like bad, bad. A.J. Moore was slow. He doesn't have the speed that he once had. So there are some shortcomings there. Whitney Merciless got destroyed on Mark Ingram's big touchdown run at the end. Just completely pummeled, pancaked, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, except for that, I mean, they were okay. It's like they hold on, and then they can't hold on anymore. Offense is no excuse. Offense, there are no excuses because those receivers, across the board, to be honest, receivers, outside of Jordan Akins at tight end and offensive line and running back, this roster just isn't good enough. It's not good enough. He went out and bought the groceries, and they're about to expire, or they're already expired. They are not an elite offensive talent, and there's no elite offensive talent on this team, and it's questionable, or at least up to be decided, that they're even very good in certain areas. They might just be average to below average in terms of talent outside of Deshaun Watson.
And the question remains, you know, if you want to look at this, they face the two best teams in the league, arguably the two best teams in the league 2 weeks in. So 0-2 is not a surprise. It's just the manner in which it's happened. So and it's apparent that you're not in the upper tier of the NFL. I'm not breaking news. You're not in the upper tier with the Kansas Cities and the Baltimores. You're not there.
Where's a gimme?
That's what I want to ask you. Yeah. Are they in the same tier as the Pittsburghs? Because I think Pittsburgh has established itself as one of those second-tier teams. Are you even in that tier? Is something we're going to find out Sunday. And tell me where the schedule gets easier, because I'm hearing that it gets easier.
In the second half?
Where?
All right, well, let's go through it real quick here. So you're 0-2. You go to the Steelers.
It speaks for itself. This might be the best defense you face.
It might be. I don't have high hopes. Spoiler alert. Against the Steelers. Okay, then you get the Vikings at home. All right, Vikings are 0-2. Maybe that's a W right there. And then after that, the rest of your first half of your schedule is Jaguars, Titans, Packers, and Jaguars.
All right, so Jags twice.
At Titans.
Okay.
And Packers.
Packers are humming.
They're humming. So that's a horrible first half of the season.
A lot of people turn their nose up at Jacksonville. Jacksonville beat the Colts. And they lost to the Titans by 3 points. And Gardner Minshew has 6 touchdown passes to Watson's 2 touchdown passes. He also is completing, what, 10% more of his
75%
passes.
75% of his passes he's completing. And he's got a quarterback rating of 115. Across the board, Gardner Minshew is outplaying Deshaun Watson.
With a first-year offensive coordinator.
Yes.
It's amazing
so,
how
so
that
So there's
works.
Your first half. Not good, right? I mean, you're talking.
I mean, I guess you can say it's easier, but that doesn't. I don't see any bunnies.
If you're seeing one gimme game, it might be the Vikings at home in 2 weeks. Okay, second half of the season. How is this all of a sudden getting easier? Because the second half of the season, you go to the Browns.
They run the hell out of the ball, which is something the Texans struggle to do. They have a lot of talent on the outside with the skill position guys, and their defense can get after the quarterback.
Patriots, we know what they're doing with Cam Newton. At Lions, okay, maybe. Maybe yeah. There's another
gimme.
You
gotta expect that, Dub.
And then this is how you end the year. Colts twice, at the Bears, speaking of defense, Bengals and Joe Burrow at home, and then the Titans. How is that all of a sudden? Well, just wait till the end of the season. It gets a lot easier. It doesn't.
Well, I know, and that's the thing. It's not necessarily that they're 0-2. Again, it's the way in which it's happened. Mm-hmm. There's nothing outside of Anthony Weaver. There's nothing that I look at on this team and say, man, I feel great about that. JJ looked good. JJ Watt looked good, mm-hmm. But we expect that when he's actually on the field. But outside of that, it's not. Again, I want to restate this. I want when we put a bow on this show on Reaction Monday, mm-hmm. Another one. I want to restate this. It's not who you lost to. It's how it looked.
Yes.
And we said that before the season. I prefaced it. Mm-hmm. I told you. You said this too. If the Texans start out 0-2, I'm not going to act like the sky is falling, but it's going to matter how it looks, specifically how this offense looks, and it looks as bad as it could possibly look right now.
Had they lost 33-31 or even 33-28, had they lost in Kansas City with some fight, you know, maybe just a field goal or a touchdown loss, we'd be feeling altogether differently about this team. They showed no fight. They showed a dearth of talent. They are not the team we thought they were or what they told us it would be. I mean, they're telling the window's open. We're in the same class as Baltimore and Kansas City. We're going to take the next step. No, you're not. And we'll see about the next step.
It's on to the next one. It is on to Pittsburgh tomorrow. John McClain's going to join us at 10:40. We'll hear what he's got to say. Bill O'Brien's show tonight at 5. It'll be interesting to hear what he's got to say. That's always the most candid version of the Texans head coach that you can get. For the OG, John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, and for all the loopholes, if you listen, you are a loophole. Thank you very much. I'm Landry Locker. This has been Reaction Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 and go on to Pittsburgh. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.